The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 25th, 1988, in Butterworth, Malaysia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 20, Text 18.
Sajachaya vidyan pancha parvana magrata tamisra mantha tamisrang tamo moho mahatama. Translation. First of all, Brahma created from his shadow the coverings of ignorance of the conditioned souls. They are five in number and are called tamisra, andha tamisra, tamas, moha, and Moha Moha. Hi, Srila Prabhupada ki! The conditioned souls or living entities who come to the material world to enjoy sense gratification are covered in the beginning by five different conditions. The first condition is a covering of tamisra, or anger. Constitutionally, each and every living entity has minute independence. It is misuse of the minute independence for the conditioned soul to think that he can also enjoy like the Supreme Lord, or to think, why shall I not be a free enjoyer like the Supreme Lord? This forgetfulness of his constitutional position is due to anger or envy. The living entity, being eternally a part and parcel servitor of the Supreme Lord, can never by constitution be an equal enjoyer with the Lord. When he forgets this, however, and tries to be one with him, his condition is called tamisra. Even in the field of spiritual realization, this tamisra mentality of the living entity is hard to overcome. In trying to get out of the entanglement of material life, there are many who want to be one with the Supreme. Even in their transcendental activities, this lower grade mentality of tamisra continues. Andha tamisra involves considering death to be the ultimate end. Jagannath Swami ki. The atheists generally think that the body is the self and that everything is therefore ended with the end of the body. Thus they want to enjoy material life as far as possible during the existence of the body. Their theory is, as long as you live, you should live prosperously. Never mind whether you commit all kinds of so-called sins. You must eat sumptuously, beg, borrow, and steal. And if you think that by stealing and borrowing you are being entangled in sinful activities for which you will have to pay, then just forget that misconception. Because after death, everything is finished. No one is responsible for anything he does during his life. Unquote. This atheistic conception of life is killing human civilization. For it is without knowledge of the continuation of eternal life. This andha tamisra, ignorance is due to tamas, the condition of not knowing anything about the spirit soul, is called tamas. This material world is also generally called tamas because 99% of its living entities are ignorant of their identity as a soul. Almost everyone is thinking he is this body. He has no information of the spirit soul. Guided by this misconception, one always thinks, this is my body, and anything in relation with this body is mine. For such misguided living entities, sex life is the background of material existence. Actually, the conditioned souls and ignorance in this material world are simply guided by sex life. And as soon as they get the opportunity for sex life, they become attached to so-called home, motherland, children, wealth, and opulence. As these attachments increase, moha, or the illusion of the bodily concept of life, also increases. Thus, the idea that I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine, aham, mimami, also increases. And as the whole world is put into moha, sectarian societies, families, and nationalities are created. And they fight with one another. Moha, moha means to be mad after material enjoyment, especially in this age of Kali. Everyone is overwhelmed by the madness to accumulate paraphernalia for material enjoyment. These definitions are nicely given in Vishnu Purana, wherein it is said, Tamo viveko mohasyat antakarana vibrama moha mohastu vigyeyo gamya bhoga sukaishana moranam hyandhata misram thamisram krotha uchyate avidya pancha parvaisha pradurbhuta mahatmana. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to text 18, chapter 20, canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. Om Tat Sat. So here, very nice and systematic explanation of the five kinds of illusion that the living entities in the material world are captured in is given. Tamisra, Andha Tamisra, Tamas, Moha, and Moha Moha. Prabhupada explained how one leads to the next, how there's a progression. Tamisra, or anger, envy, brings us down into the material world. Then, Andha Tamisra, where one thinks that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, death is the end. The death is everything. That is Andha Tamisra, blind. Blind ignorance. Then there's tamas, or ignorance of the spirit soul, where people just think that they're the body. Like an animal, they think they're the body, they don't think anything else. Even if they believe in God, they think God's purpose is to give me material things, because there's nothing except material. Moha is illusion of the bodily concept. As one gets material things, he becomes attached and more entangled. And moha, moha, one is mad after material things, working hard day and night to increase material enjoyment. It seems that modern civilization has increased the five type of ignorances very much. In Sanskrit, in India, they call a high school as a vidyaloya, as a college as a mahavidyaloya. And a university is a Vishwavidyaloya. Vidya meaning knowledge. Aloya meaning a place. Maha meaning great. Vishwa meaning universal or university. But actually it seems that they should call it Moha Vidyaloya. Place of teaching, Moha, illusion. Or Maha Moha, or as it says here, Maha Mohaloya. Because they're training people how to be mad after material life, without giving any information that we are the spirit soul. Material knowledge is necessary, but material knowledge without understanding the spiritual knowledge is useless, because such material knowledge will be used for ignorance. If someone thinks that at death I'm finished, then they think, well, I don't have to worry about what I do. I can do anything. If somehow or another I escape from being caught, then when I die, it's finished, so no problem. But every religion says that there is some punishment or reward after death. A Hindu or Vedic Dharma, as well as Buddhism, accept the laws of karma and reincarnation. And the Christian, they say you go to heaven or hell. I think that also in Islam they say heaven and hell, isn't it?
Yes.
So, all the religions say there's a life after death, of some sort or another. But the Anna Tamisra mean that you think there's nothing after death. So modern science is often telling people that after death there's nothing. We're not against science. We're against when some scientist says that there's no life after death, which is totally unscientific, because there's no proof that there's no life after death. They cannot prove that. This is your own speculation. So empiric science means anything you say, you should prove it by observable facts. So how they can say that something that they are not able to prove is a fact? They cannot prove that God does not exist. Because they cannot observe Him, doesn't mean that He doesn't exist. Actually, scientists are not able to see the atom. They can only see a reflection of it by electron microscope. But they're not actually able to see the atom. Similarly, we can see the reflection of God. We can see the reflection of Krishna. He's saying, Aham Bija Pradaha Pita, I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities. Everything there is created by me. So you can see the whole material world is running very efficiently. Einstein was considered one of the greatest scientists in the modern era. Greatest thinker of scientific thought. He came to the conclusion there must be a supreme intelligence behind all of this, because everything has got so much order. He came to the conclusion that order represents intelligence. Disorder is a result of randomness. So, real knowledge ends with the understanding that there is God, there is absolute truth, there is Bhagavan, there is eternal spirit. This is real knowledge. And the opposite of real knowledge is avidya, or tamisra, or tamas. Ignorance means ignorance of the self. A person may be very learned. You've all heard the story about the boatman and the scientist. Previously here in Malaysia, they used to put on this play. But for the past 2 years, I haven't seen it. How there was a very learned professor who had PhD, MSc, BSc, everything, who was going to India. He was crossing the river with a simple boatman with no education at all. And he was saying, you know, what is this fish? You see that fish there? That's a Pisces hippotarius. So it looks like a fish to me. Bass fish, trout. You don't know the science of fish? Whatever it is, pisciology or something. I don't know myself the Latin for fish. You never studied fish in university? No, no, I haven't taken all this formal education. I just know it's a fish. It's a rare fish. It's a black spotted fishies hippotarius. Rarely seen in tropical countries. And not seen anywhere else at all. We see it quite frequently, sir. So about 25% of your life is wasted, my dear boatman. You haven't gone deep into the matter. Then they are going and they say, oh, you see that bird? That's a rare. It's a very rare bird. Took out his binoculars. It's a fluctuarius sedacitarius. It looks like a sparrow to me, sir. No, it's a red breast. Very rare. You don't know the science of birds? No, sir. I just know boat. Well, 50% of your life is wasted. Then they're going, he said, look at that cloud. Look at that. That's a cumulus cloud. A rare. Gigantus cumulus. Sir, we call that a monsoon storm cloud. You don't know meteorology. I'm sorry, I just know, you see, it's a monsoon cloud, sir. 75% of your life wasted. Sir, do you know swimming? So no, I don't know swimming. I never learned that in university. Well, I'm afraid that cloud you pointed out happens to be one of the typhoon storm cloud, and I think we're going to be hit by a typhoon. And my boat will probably capsize. Because we're far from the shore. So I just want to know if you know how to swim. No, I don't know how to swim. And all of a sudden the storm hit and the boat was tipped over. And the boatman dived off. Well, I think 100% of your life is wasted. We may know everything, but if we don't know who we are, we don't know where the spirit soul, we don't know where the eternal jiva atma, then it's tamas, it's a real ignorance. We lose everything. I mean, when we die, again, we start all over in ignorance. Animal is in tamas. Animals are in ignorance. But a human being has got more intelligence to come out of ignorance. But being a human being, if we don't come out of the bodily concept, if we don't realize that we're the eternal spirit soul, then what have we understood in life? Knowing that spirit is the culmination of knowledge. Just like someone may be a doctor, he knows how the body is functioning, how to cure the body when it's malfunctioning or diseased. But just like in the Vedas, there also is Ayurveda. They knew that the body is ultimately, the force of the body is coming from the soul. Once the soul leaves the body, then you can't do anything. Modern science knows something about the body. All they need to add, all that's missing is knowledge of the soul. Then you get perfect understanding. If you have so much knowledge of the body, but you don't have knowledge of the soul, then you remain incomplete. It's just like now modern medicine has been able to create artificial heart, artificial kidney, artificial liver, artificial so many things. So when a person, they can keep a life support system, they can purify the blood and the urine and everything by dialysis machine, this machine, they have so many machines. So while they're doing operation, they can keep the functions going for some time. But if the soul leaves the body, even all the machines are going, but gradually everything starts to decay. They can't keep it going indefinitely. Then they have to turn out the machines and call it a... So they don't know what is the difference between when they're able to have the machines working and the body is, even the liver is taking out, putting in a liver transplant, heart transplant, kidney transplant, still the things are going. But then something happens and it doesn't work anymore. Things start to... The brain waves stop moving. So far they don't have machine to make the brain go, even when the brain stops. It's because the soul leaves the body. If the soul leaves, no matter, you can't keep the body alive. You can keep it from decomposing by filtering everything for some time, but right, it's not complete. You turn the machine off, it's dead. I mean, it's already dead, just the machine is keeping things going. So modern science doesn't have the explanation, because the soul is described in the Vedas as being a chit kona, a spiritual spark. So how you'll see, just like you can maybe get a reflection of an atom by electron microscope, because an atom is made of electrons and protons and things like that. But since the soul, the atma, is not made of electrons and protons, it's not material. So what type of microscope you can see it with? You can't see it with any material microscope. You can only see it by the soul itself. That's called self-realization. The Atma has to see himself by his own spiritual vision. Cannot see the soul by anything material. So then how do we know? We know the soul is there because when the soul is there, there's light. The Vedas tell us the symptom of the soul is light. When the soul is not there, there's no light. So we can prove that there's such a thing as a life energy. Even if we cannot see it, we can see the effect of its presence. That's scientific. Even a simple person knows that the live body is different from the dead body. The Vedas describe that there's a living energy, and we should realize the living energy. And that living energy is coming from the Supreme Person, the Supreme Absolute Truth, coming from Krishna. We are part of Krishna. If we don't know that, what is a living energy? That is called tamas, ignorance. When a person is in ignorance, then they can do all kind of nonsense. It's easy for them to be illusioned. A person in ignorance, if he goes after material things, it's not unexpected. But his ignorance becomes more entangled. So the devotee's purpose is to save people from this five type of ignorance, to free them from ignorance so that they can achieve their real spiritual peace and happiness. If a person is in ignorance, how can he be peaceful? And if there's no peace, how is there happiness? Especially a human being, because human has more intelligence. If you're an animal, you're so much in ignorance, you don't even think about it. But being a human being, you know that there's death, you know that there's a future, what the future holds. And being a human being, you have an opportunity to solve this ignorance. So why should one act like an animal? So when we preach to people, the idea is to waken them up from the ignorance so they can achieve their real happiness. They can know who they are. But people, when they're in illusion, they don't want to know. So many times we hear people say that, "I don't want to chant Hare Krishna, because if I chant Hare Krishna, I may have to give up something material." They don't think that if someone's chanting Hare Krishna, they give up something material like taking meat or intoxication. It's because they're happy without those things. So why should they do it? The real goal is to be happy. But due to illusion, they become attached. They think their real goal is to eat meat or to take intoxication, to take drugs. They think this is happiness. So they don't have an open mind. Nobody is forcing the devotees to do anything. But by chanting, if they feel happy without taking cigarettes and getting cancer, then why should they take cigarettes? This any intelligent person could understand. But someone who's in Mahamoha, who's mad after these things, just the thought that I'll live without this thing, they get frightened. They say, "No, better I don't chant Hare Krishna." They never use their intelligence to think that these people are happy also, more happy than I am. But they're happy without doing all these things. Someone in Mahamoha, they don't think like that. So this is the problem in material life today. We have many people, they're mad after this material enjoyment. And when they see the devotees are preaching, the people become detached from material ignorance. They become angry with the devotees. It's a tamisra. Why you are telling the people to become detached from material ignorance? Ignorance is bliss. They want everyone to remain in ignorance. So in the beginning, because of these type of ignorances, when the devotees preach, people sometimes object. They object because they don't have that proper understanding, because they're faithless. So gradually, by association, by gaining some knowledge, by purification, when they understand what is actual the Krishna conscious science, then the very same people, they say, "Oh, I made a mistake. This is very good." So it's ours is a thankless task. While we're preaching, there'll always be some people ignorant who will object, who will be upset. So we try to say things in our least agitating manner. At the same time, if we don't pour pride a little bit, how will people wake up? When you're waking from ignorance, there's bound to be a little reaction. But once they awake, they say, "Oh, why didn't you wake me up earlier? No, I'm late. I missed so much time. Why didn't I understand earlier that I'm not this body, that I'm eternal spirit soul, that I don't have to be dependent on so many material things to be happy. I can be happy very simply." So the devotees are doing the most important welfare work by distributing Prabhupada's books, the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas, Gita and Bhagavad, uncovering the people from their ignorance. It's actually saving a life. Someone who is Andhakta Misra, who thinks that there's nothing after death, when they die, they're again going to be born. And when they're born, they're again going to die. It's actually, when you awaken such a person to his real Krishna conscious position, they get liberation. You're saving them from death. You're saving them from death many times. Because if they weren't walking, they'd die many times. A doctor can can postpone death, but ultimately he cannot keep us alive eternally. We go to the doctor to get healthy so we can continue on with our work. But sooner or later, one time the doctor will fail every life. I told a story, there was a great movie star in Bengal called Uttam Kumar. He was a big hero on the silver screen. When he got ill, he called his doctor and he told the doctor he had to cure me. The doctor said, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid to say that I think that now there's nothing I can do, you're about to die. Then the film hero, he became really anxious. He grabbed the doctor's hand, the doctor, save me! Save me! I don't want to die! And he died. So the newspaper men, they came and they said, doctor, your patient grabbed your hand, he was begging you to save him. And just saying that, he died holding your hand. What do you have to say about that? How do you feel not being able to save your patient? He said that he requested me many times. And every time I saved him. Only this one time I failed. So we have to forgive the doctor that one time they're going to fail every life. Because nobody can live forever. But this is the illusion that people, they don't even think. Here, under Tamisamin, you think after death there's nothing. But there's a further type of ignorance or illusion where one doesn't even think he's going to die. It is a real illusion. They're so mad that they don't even realize the fact. Sooner or later, they have to leave. But the Vedas say that after we die, again, we are going to be born. Whoever dies is going to be born. Whoever is born is bound to die. This is the fact. The Buddhists also accept this maxim. But the Vedas also tell us that if we become fully God conscious, Krishna conscious, then we don't have to take again birth in the material world. We go back to the spiritual world. This is the real purpose of life, is to get back, to go back to Godhead. If we develop love for Krishna, then it's as good as being, even now in this world, it's as good as being in the spiritual world. For someone who has love of Krishna, they don't care whether they're living or dying. Living there with Krishna, dying there with Krishna. Ultimate peace and happiness we can achieve in 1 second if we develop our pure devotion for Krishna. And that counteracts all these ignorances. One point, just in conclusion, it says even in transcendental activities, sometimes the low-grade mentality of Tamisra continues. Tamisra is the envy or anger. Sometimes you find a devotee become very angry. Why the senior devotee not giving me my position? Why senior devotee not this? Why not that? Why should they become? They remain angry. So this is a condition of ignorance, which is not appropriate for a devotee. To be angry in this way. We're only angry if Krishna is offended. If Guru is offended, we don't become angry for all these material things. So sometimes the devotee showing this anger is not appropriate for transcendental life. It's a type of immaturity of spiritual life. So we should avoid this anger in devotional service. Anger against other devotees. Envy against other devotees. Dissatisfaction. If we go on doing our devotional service, we can experience transcendental bliss only if someone is going against the Shastra. If they're going against Krishna, then we can be angry. Why are you going against Krishna? Why are you going against the Vedas? So these are all very practical instructions. We should learn from them and we should see how people are in different types of ignorance. We can categorize the people of the world. This Prime Minister, is he in Tamisra, under Tamisra, Tamas, Moha, or Maha Moha? This president, which of the five ignorances is he in? This political leader, this scientist, this so-called leader, are they conditioned by the five ignorances? This Ramayana lecturer, which ignorance is he in? The professional lecturer. And how to get out of these ignorances so we can be in our natural, pure state of eternal blissful knowledge, of pure devotion. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any question?
Thanks, sincere seeker. is trying to find out the absolute path to back to Godhead. And then he finds that there are many movements and all that, where they are all like equally good in philosophy, and they are giving very good sound philosophical reasons. And also he could find faults in the different movements. But how could he come to a conclusion that which one of these movements or which one of these movements are giving that path is the proper path which he could follow for his own spiritual life?
What we mentioned earlier was that transcendental science is beyond the range of human experience. That transcendental science is revealed to us from the Vedas. So any spiritual movement should be according to the Vedas, according to the Vedic literature. It should actually lead us to the absolute truth. So at any given time, we may find, well, this is better than what I have now, so we go to that. But then we're still not satisfied. We find that there's some deficiency. We find that it's a better idea. We go. Vedic philosophy is based upon the progress until you reach the absolute truth. So it may be that one person will go through 25 or 100 groups before he finds one that actually gives a complete absolute truth. Once he reaches the absolute truth, he's not a seeker anymore. He found. He's a finder. Our goal is not to remain always seeking, but to become a finder. We want to find the truth. While we're seeking, first is you have to, before getting involved, you have to be sure that it's a properly based on the Vedas. Your philosophy actually is complete. The process is complete. The people are authorized in a disciplic succession. They're actually practicing or trying to practice what they're preaching. They are themselves sincere people. They're not cheating. Then when you get the basic, you're convinced that the thing is proper. According to the Vedas, the people are sincerely trying to follow it. It's a bona fide movement. Then ultimately to verify after yourself, practice it. Then by practicing, then you can actually get into it, what is really the substance. Then if you find that it's not what it's made out to be, you go on till you find a proper guru, a proper spiritual movement. Once you find a guru, then you, first thing is all this seeker, you have to find a guru. Just by going and looking in the dark is no use. You have to find a bona fide guru. And a guru will guide you through all the levels. It's like someone is sick, he's trying to figure out what's wrong. He's poking and this. You need to go to a doctor. The problem is most people don't know they're sick. They know something's wrong, but they don't know that what's wrong is there in this ignorance. If people knew they're sick, that's the first thing. If someone knows he's sick, he'll go to the doctor. Doctor will say, take this medicine, take this treatment, you get cured. But sometimes people, they're coughing, they don't even think they're coughing. They don't realize they're sick. This is our problem. You see, people are ignorant. They say, why? I want peace. I want peace. Why? I'm doing so many pujas. I'm worshipping this avatar, that avatar. I'm getting ashes from this picture. I'm getting so many, but I'm still not getting any peace. And you try to explain to them that the problem is that they don't want to hear, they just want peace. Like they want a package, 1 kilo, peace. Just like in a petrol station, you got this special, you can the 60 cent and you get out one, you see, chrysanthemum or lychee drink. They want one drink, peace. How much I have to give? I get. I'll do a little puja, give me some peace. They don't realize that you want to get lasting peace, you have to actually take a proper cure. You have to waken up out of ignorance. You have to find the bona fide guru and you have to follow the prescription he gives. Someone has got sickness, they're just taking some Strepsil, this, that, just hiding the symptom. But sooner or later they have to actually cure the disease. Seekers should find a guru. They should be cautious. They can, before taking a commitment with a guru permanently, they can follow that process, they can understand, they can go deeper into it, they can ask questions, they should have their doubt eradicated. And when they're convinced, then they take shelter and they go to higher levels, completely eradicate the ignorance. Bhuma jnana timarindasya. Taking away the ajnana and all this form of ignorance, timarindasya. Tamisra, Antha Tamisra, Tamas, Moha, and Maha Moha. Any other question?
In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 21, Prabhupada quote from Manusamhita. Prabhupada says,
what verse?
21. Prabhupada.
What chapter?
Chapter 2.
Get a Bhagavad Gita? Yes.
Prabhupada quote from Manusamhita and Prabhupada. He says, a person, he murdered somebody and he hanged up, materially punished. So he's liberated from that sinful activity. What about the karma spiritually?
What about the karma spiritually?
Because materially he was punished.
No, it says here that, oh Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, unborn, eternal and immutable kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? This is a verse that's explaining that the body is only killed, the soul is indestructible. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, violence has its utility. How to apply violence rests with the person in knowledge. Although the justice of the peace awards capital punishment to a person condemned for murder, the justice cannot be blamed because he orders violence to another person according to the codes of justice. So in other words, the judge is condemning someone to die. He's not going to be hung himself for doing that. Because he's doing this according to the codes of justice. Then why this is explained? In Manu Sanghita, the law book for mankind, it is supported that a murderer should be condemned to death so that in his next life he will not have to suffer for the great sin he has committed. Therefore, the king's punishment of hanging a murderer is actually beneficial. In other words, a man has killed someone. The karma for that is next life he'll be also killed and he ought to suffer a lot of suffering for being a murderer. But if the same lifetime he's hung, then the karma for killing the man is wiped away. That doesn't mean that he's liberated.
Only that particular karma.
That particular karma is counteracted. That particular karma, many karmas, by being hung you clear off quite a few karmas. Because you're in prison, you're hung, so you're getting a lot of bad karma gets wiped away. Including that karma for, in particular that karma for murder. So it said that sometime a person, even by being hung, he gets a higher birth after that. Where by after being a murderer, if he's not punished, he escapes. Next birth, he becomes a very low birth, and he has to suffer a lot. But it's not that you hang a person and he's liberated from all karma. Just that particular karma. Otherwise, then everyone could hang themselves and get liberation. It's not a system of self-realization. Don't create some new kind of cult. It said we shouldn't commit suicide. You get rid of karma also by chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. You do Tulsi Parikrama. You take Krishna Prasadam. All these things get rid of karma. By serving the devotees. So in this way you get rid of karma by surrendering to Krishna fully, then he'll take responsibility for your karmas and they'll all be systematically taken away. Getting rid of karma is one aspect. Other aspect is we have to also develop our spiritual attraction, develop our spiritual knowledge, our spiritual love for Krishna, so that attraction to Krishna, that attachment to Krishna, that love for Krishna will pull us out of this material world back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.